This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to discuss the impact of someone's absence or disengagement on the rest of the team. A direct, humane process for a conversation most managers dread. In short, when someone's absence or withdrawal is costing the team, silence is not neutral. It is a choice that compounds the damage. A team disengagement conversation requires you to name what is real, invite honest dialogue, and agree on a path forward. Address the impact on the team directly, without blaming the person's character. Prepare specifically know the incidents, the effects, and what change you need. Give the other person space to respond before you move to solutions. Definition: a team disengagement conversation is a direct, structured discussion in which a manager addresses how one person's absence, withdrawal, or disengagement is affecting the rest of the team. It names the behavioral pattern, describes its impact on colleagues, and opens a path toward change. I watched a capable manager lose half her team in 6 months because she would not have one conversation. She knew the problem. Everyone knew the problem. One team member had stopped showing up, mentally if not physically, and the rest of the group was quietly absorbing the weight. She hoped it would resolve itself. It did not. By the time she finally sat down to address it, the trust damage had spread far beyond the original issue. A team disengagement conversation is one of the most avoided difficult conversations in working life, and one of the most necessary. The reluctance is understandable. You do not want to humiliate someone. You do not want to get it wrong. You are aware that you may not have the full picture, but the longer the absence or withdrawal goes unnamed, the more the people around it conclude that you either do not notice or do not care. This article gives you a clear process for having this conversation in a way that is honest, humane, and useful. Why this particular conversation feels so risky. Most difficult conversations carry some discomfort. This one carries a particular kind of fear, the fear of being wrong about your interpretation, and the fear of being right. If you name the impact of someone's absence and you've misread the situation, you risk damaging a relationship with someone who is struggling quietly. If you're right, you're about to tell a person that their colleagues have been burdened by their behaviour. Neither path feels clean, so people stall. There's also the question of loyalty. If the team has been venting to you about the absent colleague, you carry confidences you cannot betray. You must address the substance without becoming a mouthpiece for group frustration. That tension is real, and it requires preparation, not improvisation. If you want a broader frame for how unmet needs drive this kind of team friction, that is worth reading before you prepare for this conversation. What you need before you sit down. No preparation means no conversation worth having. This is the precondition everything else depends on. You need three things in hand before you speak. First, specific observable incidents, not impressions, not people have noticed. Specific dates, meetings, deliverables, or interactions where the absence or withdrawal was evident and had a measurable effect. If you cannot name at least two concrete examples, you are not ready. Second, a clear account of the impact. How has the team been affected? Workload redistribution, missed deadlines, lowered morale, communication breakdowns. The clearer you are about the actual cost, the harder it becomes for the conversation to dissolve into vague generalities. Third, an open question about what is behind the behaviour. You are not going in to deliver a verdict. You are going in to address a pattern and understand what is driving it. Something may be happening in this person's life, or inside the work itself, that you do not yet know. Go in curious as well as direct. How to discuss the team disengagement conversation step by step. Step 1. Set the meeting privately and frame it honestly. Do not ambush the person in a corridor or call them into your office without notice. Schedule a private meeting and give enough context that they are not blindsided, but not so much that they spend 3 days in dread. A simple framing works. I want to talk with you about how things have been going for you on the team. Can we find 30 minutes this week? That is enough. It signals the conversation is real without turning the waiting period into punishment. Never hold this conversation in a group setting. If colleagues are present when you address the impact of someone's disengagement, you create shame rather than dialogue. Shame closes people. You need them open. Step 2. Open with observation, not accusation. Begin by describing what you have observed, not what you have concluded. There is the meaningful difference between I have noticed you have been less engaged in our last 3 sprint reviews, and you have not been pulling your weight. One opens a door, the other slams it. A script that works. I want to start by sharing what I have been noticing, and then I would genuinely like to hear your perspective. Over the last month, I have seen you step back from the Tuesday planning sessions, and I know three items from your part of the project have come in late. I want to understand what is going on. Pause there. Do not fill the silence. Let them respond before you say anything else. Step 3. Name the team impact clearly. Once the person has had space to respond, name the impact on the rest of the team. This is the part most managers soften too much, and then the message does not land. You are not trying to make the person feel guilty. You are telling them the truth about a cost that real people are carrying. That truth is respectful. Hiding it is not. Say something like, "What I also need you to know is that the rest of the team has been absorbing the gap. Two people have taken on work outside their scope to cover for the delays, and I have seen the strain it is putting on them." Specific, calm, factual, no blame, just reality. For guidance on how to start a difficult conversation when you feel the moment resisting you, there is a process worth reading before you get to this step. Step 4. Listen before you move to solutions. After you have named the impact, ask a direct question, and then stop talking. What has been going on for you? Or help me understand what has changed. Then listen, properly. This is where the conversation either opens or closes. If the person feels that you have already decided what the answer is, they will give you a surface response and protect themselves. If they feel that you are genuinely asking, they will often tell you something true. They may tell you they are struggling with something personal. They may tell you there is a problem with the work they have not raised. They may tell you something about the team dynamic that you did not know. None of this removes the need for change, but all of it changes what change looks like. The core framework for staying grounded during tense conversations is a practical tool for this stage, when emotions can pull you off course. Step 5. Agree on specific, visible change. At this point in the conversation, you have observed, named, listened, and understood. Now you move to what happens next. Vague agreements do not hold. I need you to be more engaged is not an agreement. It is a sentiment. What you need is something specific enough that both of you will recognize whether it is happening. Try this. What I need from you in the next 4 weeks is to be present and contributing in Tuesday planning sessions and for your deliverables to come in on the agreed dates. If something is getting in the way of either of those things, I need you to come to me before the deadline, not after. Can we agree on that? That is a clear, checkable commitment. Write it down and follow up. Step 6. Address the wider team appropriately. This step matters more than most managers realize. The team that has been absorbing the impact needs acknowledgement, not gossip and not silence. You do not disclose the private conversation. You do not share what the person said or what the plan is. But you do speak to the group honestly. Something like, "I want you to know I am aware of the pressure some of you have been under. I am dealing with it, and I want to thank you for the way you have handled it." That is enough. Teams do not need details. They need to know you see them, and that something is moving. For a broader approach to handling conflict within team meetings, there is useful guidance available. Step 7. Follow up and close the loop. The conversation is not over when the meeting ends. Follow up within 2 weeks. Check in on the commitments you agreed. Acknowledge progress when you see it. If the behavior has not shifted, you need a second, more direct conversation. The DEAL method for resolving conflicts fracturing team synergy gives you a structured approach for those escalated situations. Do not let the follow-up slide. Silence after an agreement sends its own message. When the person works remotely. Remote settings make this conversation harder to read and easier to avoid. You cannot see someone's posture or energy. Absence looks different when the screen is their primary presence. You may not notice withdrawal until the gap has become significant. The same process applies, but with two adjustments. First, be more diligent about what you observe. In a remote environment, your data points are different response times, camera habits during calls, contribution to shared documents, participation in group channels. These are your observable incidents. Use them the same way you would use in-person behaviors. Second, do the conversation on video, not over email or phone. The quality of connection matters for difficult conversations. You need to see each other. A camera-off call gives you half the information you need to read the conversation well. If tensions escalate during the session, knowing how to de-escalate arguments effectively will help you hold your ground without making things worse. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Eat Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong in this conversation. These are the three mistakes I see most often. Each one is understandable. Each one makes the problem worse. The mistake: waiting for certainty before speaking. Why it happens: managers want to be fair, and they fear being wrong. What to do instead? Act on a clear pattern, not a single incident. You do not need certainty. You need enough evidence to have a responsible conversation. Two or three specific observations are enough. The mistake: letting the team's complaints drive the agenda. Why it happens: when colleagues raise the issue, managers feel pressure to act on their behalf. What to do instead? Use what colleagues have raised as signal, not script. Do not repeat their words. Address the impact you can see directly, not the frustrations you've been told about. For situations where tension has spread between two colleagues specifically, the DEAL method for diffusing interpersonal conflict offers a structured path. The mistake: delivering the message and calling it a conversation. Why it happens: people confuse speaking clearly with communicating effectively. What to do instead? Build genuine listening into the structure. After you name the impact, stop. Ask a real question. Wait. The quality of what you hear in that silence will shape everything that follows. A preparation checklist for this conversation. Use this before you walk into the room. If you cannot answer these questions, you are not ready. Number 1. Can I name at least two specific incidents where the absence or disengagement was observable and had a measurable effect? Number 2. Can I describe the impact on the team in concrete terms without quoting colleagues? Number 3. Do I have a genuine, open question ready to ask after I have named the impact? Number 4. Do I know what specific, visible change I'm asking for? Number 5. Have I booked a private setting with enough time, at least 30 minutes? Number 6. Am I prepared to hear something I did not expect and to sit with it before responding? Number 7. Do I have a plan to follow up within 2 weeks? If the answer to any of these is no, spend another day in preparation. A half-prepared conversation is often worse than none. What this conversation is really about. Here is the truth of it: having a team disengagement conversation is not about catching someone out. It is about treating a person seriously enough to tell them what is real. Most people who have withdrawn from their team know something has shifted. They are often waiting for someone to notice out loud. Your job is not to be the judge. It is to be the person who names the gap, holds the space, and gives the relationship a chance to repair. Done well, these conversations do not damage trust. They build it, because you showed up when it was easier to look away. The team disengagement conversation is hard precisely because it matters. That difficulty is the signal, not the reason to stop. Frequently asked questions. What is a team disengagement conversation? A team disengagement conversation is a direct, structured discussion between a manager and an employee about how that person's withdrawal or absence is affecting colleagues. It addresses behavioral patterns, names the impact on the group, and opens a path toward change without blame or accusation. How do you start a difficult conversation about someone's absence affecting the team? Start by naming the pattern you have observed, not the person's character. Describe specific incidents, state the impact on the team clearly, and invite the other person to respond before you offer any solutions. Opening with curiosity reduces defensiveness. How do you discuss team disengagement without blaming the person? Use observable behavior, not judgments. Say what you saw, when you saw it, and what effect it had on others. Avoid words like always, never, and attitude. Invite the other person's perspective early so the conversation becomes a dialogue, not a verdict. What should you avoid when talking about someone's disengagement with their team? Avoid vague accusations, hearsay from colleagues, and emotional language that corners the person. Do not hold the conversation in a group setting. Never imply the person is replaceable. These approaches close people down rather than opening a genuine discussion about what has changed. How do you protect the rest of the team while having this conversation? Be honest with the broader team about the workload impact without disclosing personal details. Acknowledge what they have been carrying. Then let them see, through your actions, that the issue is being addressed. Teams trust managers who name what is real and then act on it. What if the disengaged person becomes defensive during the conversation? Stay grounded. Acknowledge the reaction without backing away from the substance. Say something like, "I hear that this feels unfair. I want to understand your perspective. And I also need us to talk about the impact, because that is real too." Defensiveness usually signals something unspoken beneath the surface. How long should a team disengagement conversation last? Plan for 30 to 45 minutes. Long enough to hear the person properly, short enough to stay focused. If emotions run high and no resolution is in sight, agree a second meeting rather than pushing through to a forced conclusion. Closure under pressure really holds. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.